Maroney's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roney. We have Aaron Potter. Aaron.
Oh, you're so nice.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good.
Now you're one of your names that you use in social networking, and it's kind of a cute, fun name, is Tap Dancing Mama.
Yeah.
Which is what you are.
Yeah, I am a tap dancing mama, that's for sure.
You have a lot of different skills. If we could just kind of roll through them. You dance.
Yep.
You act. You perform.
I sing a little bit, not a lot of bit, just a little bit.
Yeah. Now, when did you start dancing?
I started dancing when I was 4.
Okay.
And I did it all, tap, jazz, ballet, the whole thing. And then I just kind of got more into tap dancing, and that's pretty much, I've done tap dancing my whole entire life.
Okay. Now, you are a busy lady. Now,
yes, I am.
First of all, you're a mom, and that's an important thing, and that takes a lot of time.
Yes.
But you do performances, and there's a lot of great pictures of you doing just all kinds of different performances here and there. And how do you balance that? How do you balance mom with tap dancing? And
well, when I first had my son, I felt like, because I did all this stuff before I had my son, so I kind of felt like I had lost a part of myself, so I vowed that I was going to get back and do the things that I love to do, which dancing being a main part of it. And I also own my own business, so I work from home. So it's a loan processing business.
Okay.
And so I did that so that I could stay at home with my son. So I spend time with my son at home while I'm working, or, you know, because I don't work like every single minute. I'm not always at the computer. But because I'm home, it allows me to do stuff with my son. But then I also, at night, I have a very wonderful husband who lets me go and do what I really love to do, which is dancing. And I have one dance class a week. It's on Monday nights. Mm-hmm. And I actually started that dance class back up 6 weeks after I gave birth, because I was like, I can't wait any longer. Once I got the okay from my doctor, I was back dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, besides that, I mean, I do a whole lot of other stuff. Do you want to know about all my other stuff I do?
Well, let's focus here, and then we'll kind of move forward into other things. But I just think that, you know, I'm going to get an awe from the audience, but it's just like I think a spouse that allows the other to fulfill a dream, those spouses are wonderful.
And I have one of those, and it's the nicest, coolest thing ever.
Yeah. It's they get a little extra hug and a star and, you know, whatever else. But I think being a mother is a wonderful thing. But I think sometimes moms feel underappreciated sometimes. That's my opinion. And I think it's good to kind of find a balance, and you love your family, and that's important. But also there's a bit of a dream that I think if you didn't fulfill that maybe you would have regret over it. So
yes, and I don't want to be one of those moms that all she does is deal with her kids and work with her kids and hang out with her kids, because yes, I love my son and I love being with him, but I also am a person myself, and I also have a husband who I also like to spend time with.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But you have so much fun, you know, the great pictures, and I know that you've got talent. And one day I'm going to come out and I'm going to see you.
Cool. You're more than welcome.
I'm going to do that. So
I usually do about 1 to 2 musicals a year. So my next one, I'll let you know.
All right, I'll be there. Let's kind of move forward. We have a mutual friend, Megan Enlow.
Yes.
Also known as a podcast junkie.
Yes.
Has nothing.
And I am officially, just to let you know, the podcast junkie's official sidekick.
Excellent.
Yes.
Now she needs one, and you are it.
Yes.
But I remember I wrote one of my crazy scripts, and so Megan's a great gal, and so I said, listen, you know, you want to do one of the parts? And so she said, yeah, that's fine. I said, I've got a sidekick, and she goes, let me talk to my friend, and let me see. And I heard the bit, I heard your voice, I edited it together, and I said, man, this is great. And so I'm writing New World Army, and I needed a young sounding person. And we have a nephew. His name is Noah. He's on iCarly. He's Gibby. And just around that time, he just started to take off. And I went, ah, man, I can't. You know, I don't know about SAG or whatever. So I listened again, and I heard your voice, and I said, wait a minute. That's perfect. That's perfect. And I got to tell you, the most responses I get about the project is your part.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
They love you, and they love what you've done with the character.
Nice, thanks.
And so it's one of those magical things that sometimes when you write, you're definitely listening for something, and that's what I heard when I heard your voice. I went, that's exactly it. So I definitely wanted to pass that along. And
Thank you. That is so awesome to hear.
Yep. And you know, the poor little New World Army has been a car I've been pushing up the hill. But you know, the rest of the episodes are being released to the end of the season, and then we'll jump on season two. But I just want to thank you for your, you know, hanging in there and your participation in that.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you, because I think New World Army is a great script. The storyline is great. I really am enjoying it, and I'm really glad that I'm a part of it, because it just is so it's so cool to be part of something so cool, you know?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Now, let's kind of talk about, first of all, one of your favorite movies is Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band with the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because I enjoyed that too. I mean, I remember buying the tape back when they had cassette tapes. Do you remember back that far?
Oh, yeah. I actually had the record. I think I was 7, and I bought the record because Peter Frampton, who plays Billy, was like dreamy back when I was 7.
Right,
and
yeah.
He's still dreamy now, I think, but you know. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. My husband thinks I'm a freak because I love that movie so much. But and they don't have it on, I haven't found it on DVD, so I have my VCR so that I can watch my one VHS tape, which is the Sergeant Pepper. So it's my favorite.
Well, that soundtrack was just amazing. I mean, I heard Earth, Wind, and Fire's Got to Get You Into My Life, and I just fainted over dead. I go, that's the most incredible redo of a Beatles song just about I've ever heard. So
it's just, the whole thing is awesome.
Mm-hmm, man, that's true. You know, Steve Martin singing.
Hysterical.
You know. So anyway, it was just, I wanted to talk about that a little bit, because maybe the movie had some little, you know, trouble here and there. But it's sad that they were sued. I mean, how can you sue George Burns? Come on.
I know.
It's amazing.
You know, I don't know. The movie is great, but you know what, though? Those diehard Beatle fans, they hate that movie.
Yeah, I know.
And I really like the Beatles, but I also really like the Bee Gees. And I always think that when an artist sings someone else's stuff, it should be a compliment to that artist. Because they liked it so much that they wanted to do something else with it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Well, you and I are also Disney-holics, and so...
Of course. I actually went 2 days ago. It was very busy.
Even the Lakers were there, I think, today.
Oh, yeah. I didn't go today.
Yeah, well, I don't think there was room anywhere, so.
Yeah, no.
People had to share churros or something.
Probably.
But I want to talk about one last thing that I really am interested in. I have a lot of questions about.
Okay.
You investigate paranormal activity. Now, first question, we kind of touch on this, is how does a paranormal fit in with your belief system?
Well, I'm a sensitive, which basically means that I can feel spirits.
Okay.
I've been able to do this since I was little. The first time I remember being able to sense someone else was when I was 5. And I actually thought that everybody was like, oh, you have an imaginary friend. How fun. And that's what I thought it was an imaginary friend. Well, later on, I started to realize that this imaginary friend could move my stuff.
Okay.
And it was, I'm like, this is a little bit different than an imaginary friend. And I have this sense of other people or other beings around me.
Okay.
And that's actually what sparked my wanting to investigate and find out more information.
Mm-hmm.
And it really doesn't, for me, it really doesn't interfere with my religious beliefs because each spirit is different. Everybody, I believe that the spirits that I come into contact with, most of them, are just people like you and me that just don't have bodies. And they have their own religious beliefs. So for me, religion doesn't come into my investigating at all.
Okay.
I'm more of a scientific investigator.
Okay.
And I use a lot of equipment. I'm part of a group.
Yeah, okay. Let me ask some questions. And these are honest questions that I just kind of always ponder. Are spirits locale specific?
Yes and no.
Okay.
It depends. There's actually several different kinds of, I guess you could say, hauntings. There's a specific haunting called a residual haunting, which basically means that some tragic event happened at that time, and that tragic event imprinted itself into the woodwork, into the stone that's around there on the land, and it replays itself over and over again.
Okay.
There's actually not a spirit there, but it's the imprint of that great amount of energy that happened at that time.
Okay.
So there's that that's specific to the land, to that part. Then there's the ghost, I guess. Most people call them ghosts,
mm-hmm.
Where it's an actual person that has died that has not gone wherever they have to go after they pass away. And they stick around usually where they're most comfortable, but they can move and go to other places. Wherever, you know, there are some spirits that, you know, go visit, let's say their favorite restaurant was Hoff's Hut. They'll go visit Hoff's Hut, and then they'll go visit their, you know, granddaughter, and then so they can visit and move places. But they do tend to stay around mostly where they're most comfortable.
Do they fly? Do they walk?
They don't do really anything. They're energy.
Okay.
So they don't do any of that.
Okay. All right. Would there be spirits at a cemetery?
There are spirits at a cemetery.
Okay.
And actually, the ones that I have felt at a cemetery, not necessarily are the people that are buried there.
Okay.
Sometimes family members that have passed over go to the cemetery to visit other family members' graves.
Okay.
So, okay.
Okay. Let's see. Now you've talked about feeling, and from my religious background, I understand the term feeling. I get that. I understand that. The way you've explained that, do you see spirits, or do you need a certain equipment to capture something?
No, I personally have only seen a handful of spirits.
Okay.
I feel them more than I see them.
Okay.
Most people that do see spirits see it in a form in the form of a mist. Some people claim that there's lights, have seen lights. Some people have actually not seen the spirit, but has seen something move on its own by itself. With what I do, I use a lot of equipment, and I can hear them talk, there's something called EVP, electronic voice phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when you have a digital recorder, kind of what we use with podcasting,
mm-hmm.
and you're in wherever you're investigating, and you talk to the spirit, and you talk to them, you know, ask them questions, and you don't hear audibly the response. And then you play back your tape, or your, if you're using a tape or digital recorder,
right.
you play it back, and the answer is sometimes on the digital recorder, but you didn't hear it, nobody else in the room heard it.
Okay.
That's, we do hear that a lot, but sometimes people also hear it audibly, so.
Okay. So, your group, are they contacted by, obviously the folks maybe in an area that are maybe bothered or kind of interested or scared or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Our group gets contacted usually by, like, homeowners that are uncomfortable in their home. Things have been happening. They don't understand why. We go in, we ask them a whole bunch of questions, mm-hmm. because what our group likes to do is, go in and make sure that there's nothing rational that can, you know, explain what's going on.
Okay.
We use our equipment. We ask a lot of questions. And just to make sure, because I mean, like if somebody's electricity is doing weird things,
mm-hmm.
we're definitely going to check all the electrical lines and all the electricity and stuff like that.
Sure.
So, and we don't just go in and go, oh my gosh, you have a ghost. We mm-hmm. don't do that.
Right.
We're very scientific about it.
I'm kind of in my mind, I'm picturing poltergeist a little bit.
Poltergeists are actually different.
Okay, but what I'm saying is the events to happen.
The
homeowners
experience that. Yeah.
Yeah. Contact a group. They come in, you know, kind of interview, find out, you know, maybe you know, mental situation, you know, electrical lines, and then kind of begin to capture photographs and video
right.
and audio and that kind of a thing. So
exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, now a poltergeist—that's a German word for a troublesome spirit or something like that.
Yeah, noisy spirit.
Okay.
And it's just basically, it could be a ghost of mm-hmm. a person that likes to play games.
Okay.
It could also be there. Actually, is some research right now on teenage girls, mainly teenage girls, or women going through menopause because they emit. When their hormones are, I don't know all the technical terms, but
okay.
you know, when their hormones are crazy, they emit electrical energy from their bodies and can create actually things like a poltergeist creates. So that is something that's being researched right now about poltergeist activity in relation to teenage girls and women. During menopause.
Now, I am not poking fun. I know this is a very serious thing, but I'm saying my comedic mind is now engaged. And, you know, when you start talking about teenage girls and pregnant women and hormones causing problems,
I know.
I'm right there with you. I'm going, you know, I could have told you that. You could have called me on the phone and I would have told you.
Scientifically,
I understand.
It's difficult.
I know. But anyway, I'm just understand.
No,
I'm listening
to you. Don't
worry about it. All right.
You can poke fun at me all you want.
No. Listen, you know, I mean, from my vantage point, you know, we've had situations where, you know, Christian folks have come and pray and,
right.
you know, they have, felt, you know, something go, whatever. Mm-hmm. Have you kind of intersected with a religious type of situation where, somebody's been brought in and you've seen relief or that somebody's brought in and it hasn't been and it's something that kind of stays there? I mean, have you had any kind of experience with the religious belief or aspect kind of intersecting with what you guys do?
Yes. But I don't actually deal with those kind of issues.
Okay. All right.
Sometimes with our group, we actually have a demonologist
okay.
who does all of that when we come across a very negative entity, it is a demon usually, mm-hmm. and we have someone who specializes in that, and we basically step back and go, okay, this is too big for us. We need to bring in someone who knows what they're doing in regards to the religious part of it.
Right.
Because when it comes to angels and demons, that is definitely more religious,
okay.
and we have someone that we call in for that.
Fascinating. Incredible. And really, you've been gracious to my questions, and I probably do have some really dumb day one questions, but, you know,
no,
it's
questions
just...
questions are dumb. None are.
Okay. I think what's interesting is you're a great lady. You've got a lot of things going on, but I mean, you can talk pretty deep about, you know, situations that most people just, you know, would say, I thought it scares me to death, but you know, it's interesting that the science is brought in and saying, okay, we are going to, capture this information and kind of, check it out. And just,
yeah.
you know, see what is going on.
One of the things that I was very fascinated about in regards to scientific approach to this is that I know what I feel, mm-hmm. and I know what I felt since I was little.
Right.
But a lot of people have not felt anything like that. And a lot of people are just like, okay, well, that's not true. Well, so what we're trying to do is scientifically prove or come as close as we possibly can to scientifically prove that the spirits do actually exist, that this kind of thing actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually, a friend of ours, he actually captured a voice on his recorder at the Queen Mary that was actually investigated by the FBI. I think it was the FBI.
Hmm.
They use like a voice analysis software. And he captured who we believe to be a little girl named Jackie.
Hmm.
She stays in the pool area. I've heard her myself with my ears. But our friend, he actually can go in there and most of the time talk to her. She'll talk to him. And he recorded it one time. And it was very interesting. I mean, clear as day, it was a little girl's voice, clear as day talking to him. And 20 years ago, a guy named Peter James, who most people in the paranormal world know who Peter James is, he was a psychic and could talk to spirits, he actually had an audible conversation with the same little girl. And if you listen to the recording from 20 years ago and you listen to the recording from, I think it was 4 months ago, they sound like the exact same little girl, not aged one bit.
Hmm.
So they used whoever, he knows someone in the FBI or something, and they used voice recognition software against these two recordings because most people, if it was a hoax, in 20 years, your voice changes.
Right.
It sounds different.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess with the software, they grade the voices on a 1 to 10. And with the FBI, anything over a 6 is you could be convicted on whatever it was that they were checking. Jackie... the recordings got a 7.9, I believe. So that's really high on their scale, and that's probably one of the best pieces of evidence that I've ever come across.
Yeah.
So, I mean, scientifically, we're kind of getting there. But there's always going to be people that don't believe, and actually I'm totally okay with that because, for me, everybody believes the way that they want to believe, and it's okay, you know?
Well, you mentioned that you feel and some people don't. And just on a bit of a side trip, it's the same really in the religious realm as well.
Right.
I may feel, you know, something coming to my heart and you know, a thought or impression or some type of something that I feel is God.
Right.
And a lot of people don't.
Right.
And so there's this kind of, you know, well, didn't you feel that too? No, you know,
yeah.
You know, in the charismatic realm, they call it gospel goosebumps, right? When
right,
maybe
right.
you're praying or whatever, you get these goosebumps or whatever. And some people get them, some people don't. And
right.
so it's interesting that I think in a lot of different situations is that, you know, certain people, you know, have that capability, you know, whatever. So,
Right.
I would think, and I want to get your impression of this. I mean, besides the Ghost Whisperer's lead actress, whom I think she is a fine actress, and
she's really good.
I think she really is just the greatest thing. And my wife would be swinging a bat at me, hit me in the head, because you know I just think she's darn cute. But anyway,
she is cute.
yes, and what do you think of shows like MTV where? They tell a story about a place. They fit these people with these cameras, and they put them down in there. And to me, it almost seems kind of like a joke in that they're kind of jumping because there's this buildup. Does that help paranormal investigations or
not at all?
Okay.
Well, shows like Ghost Whisperer, that's fiction. It's
right.
Fiction. So it's for. The paranormal world, stuff like that is good, and it's fine.
Right.
It's the reality TV paranormal shows that some of it is believable, and some of it is just not believable. And you really can't believe it, because if you're not there,
right.
How do you know it really happened? How do you know they didn't edit it out? How do you know? You don't know.
Right.
And so those shows actually hurt the paranormal more than not, because they're, you know, specific shows, you know, stuff gets thrown at them every single episode. Well, in real life, that doesn't happen.
Right.
Somebody has to be doing that, because, I mean, I've been on an investigation. I've been on, like, tons of investigations, and I've had stuff thrown at me once, and we actually don't even know, we don't even feel that it was paranormal.
Hmm.
So it doesn't happen like that. But then there's, you know, the people that watch this that don't know about the real paranormal world go, oh, you know, this is so fascinating. I'm like, it is, but that's not real.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes it might be real for them, but every time is a little questionable, you know?
Well, you know, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, especially growing up in a charismatic home, you know, definitely there's a lot of watchdogs, and you know, they'll come in and they've got 12 different explanations for, you know, why a church experienced something, you know, and just all kinds of different things. And it's like, it's interesting to me that these MTV shows, it's normally females.
Because females scream really loud.
Right. And it's like David Blaine doing a magic trick. And then you kind of look, and there's eight women around,
yeah.
And so one sees one thing, and they're all screaming. So,
yeah.
I want to ask you about that, but
yeah.
I would imagine that paranormal investigating is like a crime investigation. It's just, you know, if they make a movie about it, they've got to kind of compress all the interesting parts into this short time period, but
exactly, because our investigations, we usually start around 9 o'clock at night, and we sometimes don't end until like 3 o'clock in the morning, and then you have to go home and you have to review all your evidence. So you have to, if you recorded the whole thing, you listen to the whole thing from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So all those hours you're listening to again. So it's not like you have to be really dedicated in order to be a good investigator, in order to catch stuff that, you know, you're trying to put out there as, hey, this is what happened, you know?
Aaron, one of the reasons why I love this show is I never really know exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And this has been just a great time to talk to you, find out about you and what you're interested in. And I just want to thank you for your time.
Well, thank you. This has been fun.
And, you know, when you come back, can we talk some more?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
That's totally fine. Do you want to know? I listen to a podcast. One of the investigators I investigate with does an actual paranormal podcast, not just about ghosts, but about all things paranormal.
Okay.
It's called, now I'm just drawing a blank. Oh, my gosh. It is called... I just had it, and I listened to it. You're going to cut that part out, right?
Just email it to me. Well, yeah.
It's, oh my gosh, I just totally drew a blank.
No problem.
Yeah. I'll figure it. Hold on. Leaf, what's Tom's podcast? No, it's not a watching thing. Okay, I completely just drew a blank, and I listen to it every week.
That's fine. That's fine.
Oh, funny. I'm so sorry.
No problem. But thank you for your time.
Oh, it's called Altered States Paranormal Radio.
Okay.
Sorry.
If you can email me the URL, or I guess I can Google that. So
they're a friend of mine on Facebook.
Okay.
Altered States Paranormal Radio.
Okay. So keep dancing.
Thank you. I will, for
keep,
sure.
Keep acting.
I will, for sure.
And keep logging all your tapes, because I know that's what you do. That's what we did when we shot video. So yeah. I imagine it's the same type of thing.
Yep.
You have to write down and all this kind of stuff. But, yep. Aaron, what a great, great, great time with you. And we'll probably bump into each other at Disneyland.
I'm sure.
Waiting for the dragon to appear.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I heard the head broke off, so we haven't seen it yet.
You know, it's funny, the dragon is kind of like, what is it, Nessie?
Yeah.
You keep hearing it exists, but it's like,
yeah,
no, I haven't seen it.
We don't really know, do we?
Right. So thanks so much for your time. And again, thank you so much for Lucky. And a little bird tells me Lucky's going to have more to do in season two. So just want to pass that along.
Hey, I don't want to die.
No. There's things happening.
Oh, good.
So thanks so much for your time. And we'll talk again soon, okay?
Okay, great.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Snark. Infested Waters.
Snark Infested Waters is a podcast about the horror of it all. Life, faith, art, fandom, etc. Hosted by me, Taylor Kent. The show includes ranting, shouting, and or uncivil discourse on the subjects of faith, politics, art, books, movies, fandom, and more. It also includes cool music, interviews, and uncivilized reviews of the latest movies to debut on the Sci-Fi Channel's most disappointing, I mean dangerous, night of television. So if you like cool music, interviews, and rants of epic proportion, come join the fun at thesnarkyavenger.com.
The future. A world where the quest for truth has ended. Although some of us are trying to keep it alive.
Hey, Rand, do you think Vincent's okay?
He's become more tense and distant every day since Isaiah died.
I'll make sure we get back on track, even if I gotta save everybody from themselves.
We've got our share of enemies.
Hey, you can't come here!
Intruder, take him down!
Rand, what is that thing?
Look out!
Surprise!
We're looking for others to join us.
What's with the blue robes? These guys wizards or something?
Zamtafia are powerful weavers of miracles.
We thought we'd found some allies.
Encircle them, brother.
They cannot return with us to the village.
And we must purify this place of their stain.
We were wrong.
Ready, brothers. Let's begin.
Burn, ungodly filth!
What do you want?
To make you ours or to make you despair?
Spirit Blade Productions presents...
Do you have any idea how much I will make you suffer? The horrific agony that I will inflict...
Spirit Blade, Dark Ritual.
Hell will be a refuge for you when I'm finished.
For more information, visit spiritblade.net.
Roni Zone Productions presents New World Army.
Sarah, you must find the power of Volan and return and destroy the New World Army. You must.
Clarice, this electronic wonder won't just be an easier way for humans to shop, but it could automate everything.
The nanosecond I have what I want, you will be exterminated.
There are humans, people, lives that need you to lead them.
Humadroids brought peace to our planet long ago. Before the humadroids, man brought chaos and destruction.
Listen, all of you. If you ever see Sarah again, kill her on sight.
What?
She's just as dangerous as the New World Army now.
Please visit JRDOnline.com for more information on the New World Army and other great audio dramas and thrillers. Roni Zone Productions, the home of great original audio productions.
Thank you for listening to Roni Zone Radio. Please visit our website at JRDOnline.com. And drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.